Welcome to the Building Better podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Eterbity. As a board-certified nurse coach, I'm passionate about helping others stop struggling and start succeeding. Here, I share my experiences as an operating room nurse, a former wife, and a mother of three in an effort to create connections and help you build something better. Welcome to episode 19. I am so excited to highlight the third day of the Lessons for Life workshop. As some of you may know, I host a workshop. It's a five-part series, one in the fall, one in the spring, and then a week-long summer camp. The week-long summer camp goes Monday through Friday, and then the sessions for fall and spring are split up, so it's one Saturday per month, January through May. In the fall, it's August through December. So each of these days has a different theme. It's all around teaching adolescents skills that they need for life lessons. For day three, it's really about household. And for this particular day, we really focused on grocery shopping and cooking in the kitchen. So the kids show up about 9 o'clock, and I had prepared dough, sourdough starter dough, to make bagels the night before. And the tough time anytime you're making bread, of course, is that you do have a period where you have to let the dough rise. So I took a cue from most of our food shows where they already have things pre-prepped and you see them mix it, and then voila, when they open the oven, it's already baked and done. So I had dough ready, but I did have the kids make fresh dough. So they got to read the recipe. They were able to have hands-on experience with measuring cups and spoons. We talked about the differences between sugar, salt, flour, baking soda, baking powder. They went through, we talked about safety around the KitchenAid mixer and how you never put your hand in there and you want to make sure it's not only turned off, but unplugged if you are going to have your hands in there, and we never want any unforeseen accidents to happen. So the kids got to make bagel dough. I then took that and put it away so it could rise for 24 hours and pulled out my dough from the night before. And each of the kids got to make their own bagel. Actually, they each got to have two bagels. And we had different seasonings and toppers for them. And then those baked in the oven. And while those were cooking, we actually walked up to the grocery store near our home. And on our way up to the grocery store, I talk to the kids about how we select produce. And each of the attendees actually receives a guide that talks a lot about what they should be looking for, as well as what they should avoid in produce. And so we talked about everything: tomatoes, avocados, carrots, berries, cauliflower, lettuce, spinach. We talked about storage. We talked about when you bring your produce home, making sure that you wash it. And that tied into day two and day one that we had in the series, where I really talked about like personal hygiene and washing our hands and why that's important, because there are bacteria that we not only carry in our body, and sometimes that's good bacteria in a particular system or area of our body, but when it gets introduced to another area, it can cause problems. So we talked about that, you know, when harvesters are in the field and they're working on bringing in produce, that they may not have the cleanest hands. And so that's why it's really important for us to make sure to bring our produce home and wash it. So we went up to the grocery store, and we always talk about safety as far as crossing the street, using crosswalks, watching for traffic, making eye contact with drivers, looking both ways. And then in the grocery store, we talked about how you navigate. And you look at the different aisles and you read the descriptors for each aisle, and how if you really couldn't find something, that some grocery stores have apps now where you could type an item in and it'll tell you where to find it. Or talking to someone who works at the grocery store and having them help you locate an item. Each of the kids had an assigned item for the produce aisle. So we went back and we reviewed what we should be looking for, things we should be avoiding in that particular type of produce. And then every kid got to check out at the grocery counter. And we gave them the option where they would have the ability to use a debit card or they could pay with cash. And the nice thing was, is all the kids got to participate. So even if they had opted to use a debit card, they still got to see their cohorts pay with cash and got the experience. And I also had two of the kids who went through the self-checkout. And through the self-checkout, they also had the option to pay with cash as well as use a debit card. And so really seeing them engage and be a little nervous. One of the young gals who was with us told me that she didn't want to do the check stand with the checker because she feels really uncomfortable making conversation with them. And I still let it be her choice. But I said, well, you know, sometimes when we feel uncomfortable about particular activities, it's a sign that we can lean in and there's a lesson that we can learn there. And so by the time we left our house and walked up to the store, which is only about 10, 15 minutes, she told me that she had changed her mind and that she did really want to check out with the cashier because she wanted that practice. So I think just giving them some encouragement and letting them know that it's okay to be nervous, but those are opportunities to learn and grow, and encouraging them that you're going to be there so that if they get more nervous or make a mistake or if they freeze, that you'll still be there to support them. They won't be by themselves. And she did wonderfully. All the kids did really well. We talked about counting change and making sure that you get the right amount of money back when you pay cash. And then we walked home, and the really exciting part when we walked in the door was this amazing smell from the fresh baked bagels. And the kids were so excited. We picked up a couple different flavors of cream cheese while we were at the store, and they gathered around the island and they were so excited to taste something that they had made. And I was shocked. They all ate both bagels, which was really awesome because I thought maybe they'd have one or two bites or maybe finish one and take some home for their parents to see. But yeah, they ate both their bagels and they were really, really tasty. And it was nice to see how proud the kids were of the work they'd done. So when we got home from the store, since we were going to be preparing food instead of like the bagels, we made bagels that were specifically ours and we only ate food that we touched. Since we were going to be doing a full lunch and touching food that everyone was going to consume, at this point, we did do an extensive hand washing exercise. And so for this, I think visual aids are really, really important. And what I do is I take washable paint and I put some in the kids' hands and I let them rub every single part of their hands in between their fingers, around their cuticle, under their fingernails, and they get to play with the paint. So in this case, they had blue hands all the way up past their wrists. And then for this activity, they get to rinse their hands for about 5 seconds in water and see how much of the paint doesn't come off. And I should include, I let it dry for 3 minutes. So after the 3 minutes, they get 5 seconds in the water to just scrub their hands a little bit and see how much paint comes off. And it's not a lot, to be honest. Then they get a little bit of soap and I give them about 10 seconds to rub with soap and rinse. And more of the paint comes off, but not how much they should be scrubbing their hands. So they really get to visualize all the surfaces of their hands that they're not attending to when they just quickly rinse their hands in the restroom. And then they get to sing happy birthday twice is usually what the recommendation is from the CDC for hand washing. And they actually realize that even singing happy birthday twice or a full 30 seconds is not necessarily completely adequate to properly scrub and rinse all the different surfaces of your hands. So it was a fun activity. The kids giggled, they laughed, they loved playing with the paint. And I knew for sure, of course, at that point that they had actually properly washed their hands because nobody had paint on them. And I reminded them as we got ready to prep food and throughout the course that, you know, if they touched their face or their eyes or whatever it might be, that they needed to get up and wash their hands again. So I think it served as a really good reminder for them. The kids actually got to pick what their menu was going to be for the day. So the kids decided that they wanted to do homemade Caesar salad. They wanted to make macaroni and cheese from scratch, and they wanted to cook a tri-tip on the barbecue. Now, to be honest, this was a much larger menu than I normally do. So we did shift some of our activities for this particular day to our following series. Because there was a lot of meal prep, and the kids each got to have a cutting board and a knife,
We talked about knife safety. We also talked about making sure that if you are preparing certain foods on your cutting board, that you don't mix it with other foods. So say if you have raw chicken or raw beef, you know, when we took the tri-tip out, we discussed that we put that tri-tip on a plate. We took it out to the barbecue and then that plate immediately came back inside and then it got washed. And we discussed that that can be a source of people getting very ill is using the same plate that they had raw meat on to bring it back inside the house. All the kids got to chop vegetables. I was getting ready to do my fresh juicing that day. And so I wanted them to have the opportunity not only to cut lettuce, they got to cut some romaine for the homemade Caesar salad, but then they also got to chop pineapple, carrots, lemons, oranges, everything for the juicer. So that was a really fun experience for them. We talked about the different types of knives that are available and that they have different uses. Just like in the operating room, every instrument was created with a very specific intention behind it to be used in a very specific way. It doesn't mean we don't use it in other ways, but to see how things came about because there was a purpose in mind. And I shared with the kids the differences in prep knives. How there are some that are meant for chopping. There are some that you can rock back and forth. How you properly hold a knife. And as I mentioned, we did have to put some things off until the next series. But one of the things that we'll be covering is basic first aid. Because when you're in the kitchen, there is a higher probability that you might suffer a cut or a burn. And I want the kids to feel comfortable not only taking care of themselves, but taking care of loved ones. If someone gets injured, that they would be able to support them or call for help. So we did prep quite a bit of food. The kids got to use several measuring devices while we made homemade Caesar salad. They got to learn about anchovy paste and peeled garlic. They got to whisk. And we talked about the use of raw eggs, and how we crack eggs and handle those and washing our hands to make sure that we didn't contaminate anything with salmonella. And surprisingly, I love homemade Caesar salad. It is very spicy though, as my kids said when they were younger. And I didn't know if the kids would all like it. And for the most part, all of them did. We had one boy who did opt to have ranch on his salad. Turns out he doesn't really care much for salads in general. But otherwise, everyone really, really enjoyed it. For those of you who've made Caesar salad dressing from scratch, it does require, you know, raw egg, lots of whisking. So the kids got to do that. For the mac and cheese that we made, it was all from scratch. So they got to create a roux, which is a combination of butter and flour and milk. And it's actually what you use to melt the cheese in prior to putting the pasta in there. So that was really awesome that they got to participate in that. We talked about barbecue safety and checking your propane, how you light it appropriately, how you gauge how much fuel is in that tank and making sure that you turn it off afterwards. We talked about cooking meat to temperatures and making sure that you meet certain requirements to avoid any foodborne illnesses and pathogens. And so it was a really, really great discussion. And then the kids gathered around at the big table and I got to see them once again enjoy the fruits of their labor. I mean, they were so excited to enjoy a meal, not just themselves, but with all of their cohorts, because they did it together. They made this food and it was really, really rewarding. After lunch, we actually had an entire activity around sewing. And I was surprised. Every single kid was really, really excited to learn how to sew. And I had comments about, oh, I have a new sweatshirt that the seam just came apart. Another young man who was attending said that one of his favorite shirts has a hole in it and he hasn't been able to wear it. And now he was really excited to be able to go home and mend his shirt. And in my research, preparing for it, because I do some sort of research. I want to make sure that I have a structured lecture planned and that I have factual information and you know, evidence-based information to provide the kids. It was interesting to think about that not too long ago, clothing was really seen as a very, very expensive item. And so mending your clothes and patching them and keeping them and maintaining them was part of your investment. It was something that was passed down from generation to generation because you didn't have easily accessible, cheap clothing options. And so it was interesting. We watched a few videos specifically around denim and patching jeans, and the kids were pretty fascinated to see all the different designs and patterns that you can use, and you can actually decorate your jeans. So, you know, some of these jeans that are coming back into style from the 60s and 70s, I see with my daughter, that have very intricate work done on them and patterns and different sewing patches on them. I think it highlighted for them that it wasn't just design. It was a way that you could patch holes and extend the life of your clothing, but also do it in a fun way where you could personalize it and make it something that reflected your interests. So it could be a heart or a mountain scene. And they each got, I have kept dress shirts from my other half that have worn and they're no longer in the rotation. But I used these and I cut them up. So each child received either a sleeve or a portion of a shirt that had a button. And they got to learn how to sew a button back on and make sure that it would go through the buttonhole. And then I also had several different either sweatpants or sweatshirts where I went through and I ripped out the seam so they could see how you can turn a garment inside out and you can sew the seam. And they got to do this a number of times where it seems, no pun intended, when you turn it inside out, you're working from the backside of the fabric. And the first time you do it, you don't necessarily have a concept of what it's going to look like on the other side. So each of the kids, they went through their first practice. And when they turned it inside out, you saw this look on their face like, ah, I didn't know that it was going to look like this based on the work that they were doing from the inside. And so they got to use a seam ripper and pull out their work and start over. And the dramatic improvement from the first time, their first attempt after watching a video and seeing me do it, and then what they did the second time, how much they learned in that span was pretty impressive. And they were just getting better and better. And I had a few more lessons planned for after sewing, but the kids were so excited and focused on this activity that I really wanted them to be able to practice and hone their skills. And so as most of the parents arrived, the kids were still sewing and they even asked if they could have a few more minutes because they wanted to keep practicing. So you may think to yourself like, okay, so we went grocery shopping, we cooked a meal, we learned how to do some basic sewing skills, but really how is this going to benefit these kids for the rest of their life? And if you take just the cooking portion and break it down, these kids were able to practice creativity. They built their confidence as they learned new skills. And that confidence creates the ability that in the future, rather than think, oh, I'm craving Thai food, I have to pay for that, or I have to go out for that. If they have had the experience to make a dish that they've never made before, most of those kids didn't even know that you could make Caesar salad dressing from scratch. Once they see that, and they see that a lot of the recipes I pulled were straight off of TikTok or YouTube, they were very easy tutorials for them to follow along. They could watch the videos over and over. They could physically see how the person was actually adding the ingredients or doing the measuring. So it made it easier than reading, say, you know, a standard cookbook. They get the confidence where it's like, well, what else could I do? Let me look up another recipe. I want to learn how to make pizza. I want to learn how to make homemade pizza dough. Things like that, that it sparks their interest and they become more confident in trying new skills. Their concentration increases because as they have to do the calculations and the measurements and focus on what ingredients they have already added or how long they're supposed to mix it for, they engage and it actually improves their brain function. And it also promotes problem solving. There was one ingredient that we didn't add during the making of the mac and cheese. And as we had already put it in the pan and it was getting ready to go in the oven, the kids made the decision to just sprinkle it on the top. And they all agreed that it probably would have been better having the dried mustard actually integrated into the roux and the sauce before the pasta went in there. But they got to solve a problem and they got to see it wasn't the end of the world just because you missed one ingredient or something happened. It was
still a really, really tasty dish. And it gave them room to improve next time. And again, it bolstered their confidence that, oh, okay, I do need to concentrate a little bit more and make sure that I follow the directions and see where I might be missing something in there. And when it comes to cooking, when you think about it, it's been labeled an art. It's been labeled a science. It's a basic survival skill. We have to eat to maintain life. And so being able to nourish your body on your own is really, really important. Cooking also requires time management. I had a real appreciation when my ex-husband and I owned a restaurant that if you have a table with 2 orders or 4 orders or 12 orders, and you're trying to get all those orders up at the same time, knowing when you start different parts of your meal to ensure that they're all becoming ready around the same time so that you're plating at the same time. And the kids and I discussed the importance of that. So we talked about how long it was going to take to make each item. And we decided that we were going to go ahead and get the macaroni and cheese completely ready, because then it had to bake in the oven for 25 minutes. And the cook time for the tri-tip was about 20 to 25 minutes. And so starting the barbecue, getting the mac and cheese ready, once that was in the oven, putting the tri-tip on the barbecue, and then as we would check it every few minutes, we'd come inside and we'd work on doing all the dressing for the Caesar salad. And lunch was great. It all came out at a wonderful time. And really seeing the kids when they have hands on their food, they're more engaged with the nutrition piece. So in day 2 of the Lessons for Life workshop, I really focus on macros. I want the kids to understand how important each of the building blocks are in our nutrition, whether it be protein or fats or carbohydrates. Each of those serves as a role that is very, very important in the functionality of our bodies. And as we did the meal prep and as we consumed lunch together, we really talked about what each of those items in our menu represented as far as the macros. And really, when you have the opportunity to cook your own food, not only are you more engaged with your own nutrition, but let's be honest, you save money. I mean, granted, most of us would love to dine out in a certain form, like having the luxury of doing that, not having to do dishes. But there is something to be said about preparing your own food. And it can be very romantic. It can be very culturally bonding. I know my heritage is Basque and Italian, and both of those have deep roots and large family meals, and having that food as part of your celebrations in life and different pivotal moments within your family can make you feel connected. And you play a role in preparing that food and serving it and sharing it. I know that the kids, when I talked about them taking home their bagels for their family, even though they ate them all, they were excited to share something that they made with their family. So that's something that I'm going to look at incorporating into the future so that they can gift something that they put their hard work into, that they put their heart into, something that they actually thought about and picked, and then they'll be able to share that with their families. And personally, I don't know about any of you. I know we have done so much more cooking since COVID and so many restaurants were closed. I love supporting small businesses, but the cost of eating has become exorbitant. And it's discouraging for me when we go out to a really nice meal and we get a very large check. And honestly, the food wasn't as high a quality as what I would have made at home. So I really think being able to cook at home is a cost-saving measure, in that you can have not only higher quality ingredients, you have control over which ingredients go in there. And so you can reduce your salt, your butter, your fat that's in there. But then you also save the money, you know, from eating out at pricey restaurants. And I think with the convenience of food, as far as Uber Eats or DoorDash, I know that I see our oldest daughter during dance season opt to have food delivered to her out of convenience. She does have an extremely busy schedule with a very, very tight time frame for eating. Usually she gets like a 20-minute break. And when we travel, it's not something that's readily available for us to prepare food in the hotel and have that where she can reheat it or refrigerate it. So she does opt for, you know, things such as Chipotle or such, which they're healthier alternatives to other fast food options. But I do see a lot of young adults who haven't mastered the skill of cooking, they don't feel confident in it. And they get to college and they just assume that eating out is what they're supposed to do every day. And so they're spending lots and lots of money on convenient food that isn't necessarily very healthy. And I think as we teach our kids and our young adults how beautiful cooking can be, how rewarding it can be, they grow more and more confident and they're more likely to take better care of themselves. And just like with cooking, sewing in itself also fosters basic problem solving. It encourages creativity. It helps reinforce and build confidence. Sewing, obviously, I've talked about it, extends the lifespan of your clothing, but it also, I think, helps kids reflect more that if you are going to repair an article of clothing that's become damaged, that they take better care of it. It's no longer, oh, if I rip my pants, I'm just going to throw them away and I'm going to tell my mom that I need a new pair. If the kids are responsible for mending their clothing, it makes them more responsible for their actions because they know, oh, if I play rough or if I behave in a certain way or if I take certain risks or if I wear the wrong outfit for the activity that I'm doing, then I'm going to probably cause damage that I then am going to be responsible for fixing. And so it creates this connection in which they associate their actions and the outcomes. So that is day three in a nutshell. Thank you so much for listening. As I said, there's going to be quite a few activities that I had planned for this day since it's themed around household that will actually be moving to day four. That next workshop is going to be April 13th. This workshop series is sold out. However, if you or someone you know has questions or are interested in it, I will be holding a 1 week long camp this summer in July, and I am taking reservations for that now. Typically looking for adolescents aged 10 to 14 is the group I tend to work with. If I do have large inquiries for older teens, I'll look at doing a second group that would be more based 15 to 18 years of age. Please look for me on my website, buildingbettercoaching.com. Message me on social media, and I look forward to visiting with you in the next episode. Take care. Thank you for joining me today. I am honored to connect with you and grateful for the opportunity to be of service. If you have a comment, question, or an idea for the show, please send a message through Instagram, Facebook, and my website, buildingbettercoaching.com. Please take a moment to share this with other healthcare workers, moms, and parents looking to support their kids. I've been called to help people stop struggling and start succeeding, and it's listeners like you that help me fulfill my purpose. Thank you.